Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. And it's my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges with you and then to bring you some good news in the morning. I'm glad that you've turned your dial to CFRA. And if you want to, you can find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can hear past episodes or re-listen to this program. This morning, our program is brought to you by Wills Transfer Limited. Thank you, Wills Transfer. We appreciate your sponsorship of this program. Wills Transfer has been serving warehousing and logistical needs of Ontario and Western Quebec since 1945. You can find out more about them at willstransfer.com or call them at 613-744-0970. This morning, I want to talk about waiting well. I don't believe in Murphy's Law, but sometimes I find myself living it. Murphy's Law states that if something can go wrong, it will. If your car is going to break down, it's going to do so at an awkward spot. If unexpected visitors are going to show up at your house, it will happen to you at a time when you least expect it and are least prepared for it. It is kind of like the story told of a pastor who went to someone's house on a Saturday to visit someone from his church. He got to the house, and it was obvious that someone was home, but nobody came to the door, even though the preacher knocked several times. Finally, the preacher took out his card, and he wrote on the back of his card, Revelation 3:20, and stuck it to the door. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me." Next day, the card showed up in the collection plate, and below the preacher's message was written the following notation, Genesis 3:10. Preacher went back to his study and looked it up, and it said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." You know, sometimes people show up at unexpected times. I've also found that true of Jesus. You know, at Christmas time, we celebrate Jesus coming to earth. Weekly in church services around the world, we celebrate that he comes to us now by his Spirit. And we as Christians around the world would affirm that Jesus will come back again. Jesus came, he comes to us now, and he will come again. One of the constant themes of Scripture is that when Jesus comes again, he will come at a time when we least expect it. Now, it was true 2,000 years ago that he came to a time and place where he was not expected. It is true now. Jesus comes to us now, often quite unexpectedly. And when he comes again, the Bible says he will do so like a thief in the night. Yeah, I could tell you to expect the unexpected, but that only works for tours of haunted houses. You know something's going to pop up at you. Expecting the unexpected, though, doesn't work so well when it's something you've been waiting for weeks and months and years. I know some churches and some people who put a real emphasis on prophecy, and when you talk to them, they will tell you that they are sure that Jesus is coming back soon. They take a look at the world around them, and the signs of the time are all there. They say Jesus must be coming right around the corner. Some of you live with that reality, first and foremost in your mind. And I can't disagree with you and say, no, Jesus isn't going to come back soon. His coming's a long way off. Because the reality is, I don't know. No one knows. But some of you do well anticipating his coming. Now, there are others of you for whom this is just not on your radar screen. Some of you function as if the promise of Jesus coming back is irrelevant, or at least irrelevant in this life. But the reality is, you don't know. No one knows. Are you anticipating Christ's return or ignoring the possibility of it? You know, there are pitfalls of either of these ways of living. I've known people who have believed so much in the imminent return of Christ that they have failed to live well in the present. They made choices in the present, bad choices in the present, because they did not think that they had a future. And when Jesus showed up in their present with opportunities to serve this present world, they failed to recognize him because they were so focused on the future. I've also known people who have failed to anticipate the Lord's return, and they were presumptuous about the way they lived. They lived as if they were guaranteed 80 years. They lived as if they could turn to God whenever they wanted, not realizing that whenever we turn to God, it's always a response to God's call to us. They put off responding to God because they believed that they had all the time in the world, but their hearts grew cold, and life passed them by, and when it came time to meet God and death, they had so hardened their hearts to him that they couldn't hear him, although I was convinced he was still calling them. There is something about living with the possibility of Christ's return that will help us to live well. I'm going to take you back to the 1980s now with a song from the Imperials. Listen to the trumpet of Jesus.
I listen to the trumpet of Jesus, how the world hears a different sound. The whole world of difference, the world seems indifferent to you. His melody of love calls you to be great, when marking time is all you thought you could do. So if you've been playing all your days by ear, never knowing what your song was to be, then pull up a chair, let down your hair. A spiritual fanfare has a sound all its own at the birth of a lasting song. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus was born, and still the celebration goes on. If you feel the need to get your life in tune, cause you're tired of the dirge every day, then turn yourself around, get your feet on the ground, and just hear what I've got to say. Listen to the trumpet of Jesus, while the world
So the question is, how do we wait well for Jesus to come? Well, Jesus told the story in Matthew chapter 25. Let me read it to you. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were aroused by a shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.' Well, all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. The 5 foolish ones asked the other, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to the shop and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood out calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return.'" The story that was told would be a familiar image to the hearers in first century Palestine. The wedding would be performed and a processional would escort the newly married couple from the bride's house to the groom's house. This processional would often happen after dark, and the bridesmaids would be part of the processional of carrying the torches. But in this story, the processional was delayed. They waited and the bridegroom didn't come. They became drowsy and the bridegroom didn't come. They fell asleep and the bridegroom didn't come. But at midnight, they were aroused by a shout, "The bridegroom is coming." Let me remind you of what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. "We who are still alive when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. The Lord will return with a shout. The bridesmaids were aroused from their sleep with a shout. When they awoke, they found that their lamps were starting to flicker. They were running out of oil, but 5 of them were wise and had brought extra oil. 5 of them were," the Greek word is actually the basis for our word moron. 5 of them were morons. They didn't pack extra oil. So their lamps were going out and they couldn't do anything about it. And they asked to borrow some from the 5 who had brought extra, but they didn't have enough to lend. See, spiritual preparedness is not transferable. Each person is responsible for themselves. So the foolish bridesmaids had to run off and find oil, but by the time they got back, they had missed the processional. They were locked out of the banquet. The only difference between the wise and the foolish was the fact that the wise were prepared to wait. The foolish were not. The question the parable pushes on us is, are we prepared for the wait? Are we prepared to wait for Jesus to come back? The answer, of course, is that some of us are and some of us aren't. But here's what you need to remember. Spiritual preparedness is not transferable. Each person is responsible for themselves. So the question becomes, are you prepared for the wait? When Jesus comes back, it will not be good enough to say, "Well, I would have been prepared, you know, if I had a better church or a better small group or an easier life. I would have been prepared if I had spiritual friends or more spare time, or I would have been prepared if I had a more spiritual spouse." The question is, are you prepared for the wait? I got to tell you, the question makes me uneasy as I look around the church of North America today. Luke 18, Jesus tells this story of the unjust judge, and who gives the woman justice just because she kept going and showing up at his doorstep. She wore him down, and the lesson is to persist in prayer. But at the end of that parable in Luke chapter 18, Jesus tacks on this question, "And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" When I was growing up, I wondered what he was talking about. I knew people of great faith who prayed until they prayed through. And of course, he was going to find faith on earth. But we live in a culture where, well, faith is eroding, and it's eroding fast. There's a prevailing belief in our culture that given enough time, science will explain everything. This is, of course, absurd. Science does a great job of explaining how things work. But science does not explain the whys of life. It is unable to give meaning to life. That is the purview of faith. It is God who puts meaning into life. We live in a culture where if we dare suggest that Jesus is Lord, which is part of becoming a Christian, and Jesus is Lord means he's Lord over what our lives mean. If we say that in society, we're committing a social faux pas. It takes us out of polite society. This thinking is filtered into the church, where many Christians believe that what they think about an issue is more authoritative than what God says about an issue. They have become Lord over their own meanings. Now, I'm not a fundamentalist where everything in life is black and white. I get that there are a lot of grays in life, but not everything is gray. If God says something is black or white, we can't change it because we don't like it. But often we do, and when we do so, the oil in our lamps go down and we are less prepared. In the chapter before this, in Matthew chapter 24, it says in verse 10, "And many will turn to me away from me, and false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold." Sin will be rampant. The love of many will grow cold. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? The question our parable forces on us today is, are we prepared for the wait? The answer is, in our world, it's hard to wait, and the oil is burning fast. So how do we get extra oil? So that when we need it, it is there. How are we prepared to wait? Well, the first thing that we have already noticed is that no one can do it for you. Spiritual preparedness is not transferable. It doesn't matter how spiritually prepared your husband or wife or mother or father is. You cannot ride on their coattails. You cannot borrow their oil. You must get your own oil. It helps if you are around good people because they can spur each other on to love and good deeds. But as our parable points out, we will be surrounded by people who are prepared and people who are not prepared. I would have you note that the wise bridesmaids carried a heavier load to the processional. They carried the weight of extra oil. It cost them something up front. They had to purchase the oil ahead of time. I once heard Dallas Willard speak, and he said this, that grace precludes earning, but it does not preclude effort. In other words, we are saved by grace. We are saved by God's unearned favor. There is nothing we can do to earn grace. Jesus did all that needs to be done for our salvation. But the fact that we cannot earn our salvation does not mean that there is nothing to be done. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says this, "In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone." See, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things that you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter calls us to make every effort to respond to God's promises. See, it cost the bridesmaid up front, and they had to carry a heavier load of oil to the processional. There was an effort in preparing to wait. 2 Peter puts it this way, "Make every effort to respond to God's promises." I like that. The Christian life is not about trying to make yourself better. It's not about self-improvement. The Christian life is about responding to God, to living out of faith in the promises of God. And it is God who changes you. It is God who prepares you. It is God who gives you the ability to wait well. You know, it seems that this passage would indicate that the part of waiting well is to be ever growing in your faith. Are you growing in your faith? I know many of you are. A number of you are not. In fact, the promise of God is that if you will grow like this while you are waiting, you will be productive and useful in your knowledge of the Lord. No one can do these things for you. Spiritual preparedness is not transferable. So the question is, are you prepared to wait well? There will be a time when Jesus will come for each of us. It may be with a shout and the trumpet call of God, or it may be in death. No one knows when these things will be. We don't know when Jesus will come back, and we don't know the hour of our own death. In the middle of these unknowns, we are called to wait. The good news is that the trumpet has not yet sounded, and you are living and still breathing, so you have time to prepare for his coming. Jesus could come back this afternoon, and I hope you are ready. There are some of you who are listening to me who may have never given your life to Jesus. This morning, even as I have been talking, there's been something that is in you that says, yes, that's something that I need to do. I need to be prepared. You know, if that's happening in you, that's God prompting you. God has been searching for you. He has been calling for you. He wants to give you his life. I would encourage you to pray a prayer something like this. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin and come into my life. I give my life to you. I understand you have been searching for me. I'm thankful for that you found me and that I have found you. Come into my life, and I'm going to live for you. Amen. There are some of you who have done that, and you've been wandering around and trying to figure out, well, what do I do with life? The question I want to ask you is, are you waiting well? You know, if you knew that Jesus was going to return 6 months from now, or if you knew that he was going to return on the July 1st long weekend, what would you do differently now to prepare for his return? If there is something that you would do differently, then start to do it now. Get ready to wait well. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, for each person who has been waiting, I ask that you would help them to wait well. Lord, for those who have been riding on the coattails of the people around them but haven't taken up their own spiritual preparedness, I ask, Lord, that you would help them to own that and to wait well. For those, Lord, who have just received Jesus into their life, I ask that you would help them to grow up and mature in the faith. Lord, thank you so much for who you are, and thank you for the fact that you love each of us so much. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if good news in the morning has been a factor in your journey of faith, we would love to hear your story. You can connect with us via Twitter or via the website at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And again, a special thanks to Will Transfer Limited for sponsoring this program. They're a full-service logistics and warehousing company. You can look them up at willstransfer.com. Thank you for listening this morning. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. If you can help us financially, we would really appreciate it. You can make a check payable to Good News in the Morning and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1WO, or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Thanks for considering this. My prayer for you this morning is that may you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and deep love. We're going to see this morning out by listening to Chris Tomlin, I Will Rise.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul, I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise. day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. I will rise.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.